You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to get action with Action Station Aotearoa, the segment where we chat with the people campaigning for a fairer future.
Earlier this month, the government announced a turnaround plan for Kāinga Ora, Aotearoa's state and emergency housing agency. Housing Minister Chris Bishop said that the plan would refocus the agency on its core mission of building and managing social housing in a financially sustainable way. However, this plan involved the sale of 900 state homes annually, resulting in a net increase of only 400 homes each year to house the waitlist of about 20,000 New Zealanders waiting for social housing. For this week's Get Action, I spoke to Vanessa Cole from Public Housing Futures to discuss a campaign calling on the government to build and purchase enough public housing to house people on what she calls the true waitlist, which includes houseless people and those relying on accommodation supplements for rent who don't qualify for public housing.
Kia ora, my name's Vanessa. I'm from a campaign group called Public Housing Futures. We are running a campaign that's calling on the government to build and buy enough public housing to house what we say is the true waitlist, because we know that the need for public housing stretches far beyond what the current waitlist of 20,000 households show us. And there are many people that are struggling to afford rent to access decent and truly affordable housing. And we're also calling on the government to keep building public housing until it makes up 20% of all homes. Our state housing stock currently sits at 4% of all housing stock. But when we have an abundance of public housing and more people who have access to it, it means that private landlords aren't able to charge exorbitant rents for crappy properties, and there's a genuine alternative for people in our communities. Yeah, so we're really trying to lift the imagination of what public housing could be if it was adequately resourced by our government. And that could be really beautiful, fully accessible, and multi-generational, culturally adequate public housing that's really connected in with communities and available to all people who need it.
Can you tell us a bit about the true waitlist and what that is, basically?
Of course. So currently there are 20,000 households on the public housing waitlist, and it's important to say households because it's not just an individual person, but it's whole households, and some of them with multiple children and multiple family members. And the other thing about the true waitlist is that at the last census, there were 100,000, over 100,000 people who were considered living in severe housing deprivation. So that's everything from sleeping on couches to overcrowded housing to sleeping in cars and on the streets. And so there's a lot more people who are actually living in housing stress than our current waitlist shows. Also, if we look at the amount of private renters that access the accommodation supplement, which is effectively a subsidy for private landlords, those people who are getting access to the accommodation supplement are doing so because they can't afford their private rents. And so the criteria for getting access to public housing is so limiting that those who maybe earn too much in their households, or the barriers are too difficult to actually get on the waitlist, means that there's so many more people who would benefit if we had an abundance of public housing. So that's kind of what we define as the true waitlist, is not just those who are currently on the official waitlist, but the many people who are in our communities living in housing stress, paying too high rents and struggling with their housing costs.
And how long would it take to house everybody who's on the true waitlist for public housing?
Well, I think if our government was politically committed to funding public housing, we could actually have a public housing program that was able to build at scale in order to house the true waitlist. The issue now, right now, is that the government has effectively stagnated the building of public housing and plan to not actually increase the net amount of state houses after 2026, which means that when we're in these kind of like construction lulls where there's not many houses being built and the government's not building housing through this time period, our housing catastrophe is only going to get worse. And so it's all a matter of political will and whether the government is willing to actually put the resources and the capital funding in necessary to build build the houses to actually end the waitlist, and not only end the waitlist, but to house everybody in our communities.
So even before the government's new turnaround plan for Kāinga Ora, how did Aotearoa fare compared to other OECD countries when it came to providing public housing?
Yeah, so we currently have a percentage of public housing stock that's around 3.8%, and the OECD average is 7% public housing. And if you look at the upper end of the OECD countries, there's the UK has 17% public housing, and Netherlands have around 30%. And so we're not doing that well on a national and international scale when it comes to the percentage of public housing stock that we have. I think over time, since public housing was first really built up in this country in the 1930s, over time we've diminished its position in our housing system, and successive governments have essentially preferred the propping up of the private market as opposed to building public housing and continuing to build public housing so that we don't have the kind of housing crisis we see today.
You may have touched on this earlier, but is the accommodation supplement enough to support people who can't afford their rent?
So the accommodation supplement levels aren't enough to support people who are struggling with rent. But the issue is that in the 90s, we kind of shifted from a model where we believe that more people of different incomes should have access to state housing to a model of subsidising the private rental market through the accommodation supplement. And so essentially more and more people are needing access to accommodation supplement to afford rents because rents are escalating. But we have a system which essentially supports the private profits of landlords as opposed to creating a housing system for everybody.
Lastly, can you tell us about how public housing could be built with a Te Tiriti perspective and what it means for Māori to have rangatiratanga over their housing?
Of course. So obviously public housing has a history in which some of the houses that we have, some of the state housings that we have, has been built on land that was stolen. And the history of state housing is deeply embedded in with the history of colonisation. And if we're looking to the future of a public housing system, it has to be a Te Tiriti-based system in which upholds the rangatiratanga of Māori to have access to their lands and housing, as well as having a state housing system that has enough homes that are culturally adequate for Māori and for many communities in Aotearoa. And this has to be a Te Tiriti-based housing system. And that's something that we should be moving towards. But what we see with this current government is that they're pulling back on that, including letting go of a whole bunch of Māori staff within Kāinga Ora who were working on projects that were working towards a vision of a Te Tiriti-based housing system.
Thank you. That's about everything from me. But is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish off?
I guess one thing is that state housing is often the first thing on the chopping block for right-wing governments because it is a genuine alternative to the private market. And if done right, and if done at the scale that we need and made more available to more people in our communities, it can actually disrupt private market profits and provide a genuine alternative for people. And we're up against a real estate lobby that gave many donations to the current coalition government. So it makes sense that they're creating policies to minimise public housing and really prop up private developers and investors. And public housing could be our future. It could be something that many people in our communities have access to if we resource it and if there is political will to do so.
And that was Vanessa Cole from Public Housing Futures talking to us about a petition calling on the government to construct more public housing for those on the true wait list. If you're interested in signing this petition, you can find it on our.actionstation.org.nz under the name Build Public Housing Now.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.